Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Here we are, one last hour tonight, at least live with you for Overnight America. We do 4 hours, 8 to midnight. Midnight to 2 is a replay hour, so I guess technically I'm on 6 hours a day on KMOX. Can you believe that? Well, we spent the last hour talking Kim Gardner, and you can go back to KMOX.com/ONA, or you could even do the rewind button on the radio.com app, whatever works best for you. We have the national title game still on. Oh, man. Is there quarterback number 16? Is that who that is? I'm watching the game for Clemson. Oh, man, this quarterback, he's not sliding. So he goes for a run, and he goes helmet to helmet against one of their linebackers. Now, he is desperate. So I'm going to give a spoiler alert. LSU is up over Clemson 42-25 right now. Clemson, ooh, nice throw. Well, there's still 4 minutes left, but yeah, LSU has really separated themselves towards the end of the third and now early fourth. But wow, what a game here tonight. I'm not even a football fan or a college football fan per se. It's just kind of fun to see a really good game going on for the national title. I got a few things I wanted to get to. What should we do here? Oh, this is a bill that's being proposed in Illinois. I do think it may be a sign of the times that we have to address this, but it's probably for the best that we do. KSDK posted this. Lawmakers in Illinois propose a bill that would address sexting in sex ed class. So sexting, it says, discussions would include the possible consequences of it, identification of situation in which bullying or harassment resulting from it, the possible long-term consequences, importance of using internet safety, identification of individuals in the school or community that may be contacted for assistance with issues, concerns, or problems, and the development of strategies for resisting peer pressure and from communicating in a positive manner. So this is how the bill defines sexting. And I want to know if you think this is necessary. I really think this is a good idea. In fact, I think this is such a good idea that every state should be doing something like this. Sexting as an act of sending, sharing, receiving, or forwarding a sexually explicit or sexually suggestive image, video, or text message by a digital or electronic service, including but not limited to a mobile or cellular telephone or a computer. Now, the bill is called HB 4007, would require sex education classes to include age-appropriate discussions on sexting for students between the ages, or the grades, I should say, the grades of 6 through 12. I remember what sex ed was like in sixth grade, just like everyone else remembers. So the teacher would bring out a book that was probably from the 50s. Like, there was this one, and every year they'd use the same one. You know, I went to a Catholic school, so the resources were just continue using it as long as it's not falling apart type of mentality. You know, when I was in sixth grade, this is well before there were computers everywhere. Like, our computer lab were a bunch of old Apple computers. You'd play Oregon Trail. If you were lucky, you got Carmen Sandiego. But that was about it. So computers were not part of everyone's homes. It wasn't until later, I don't even know, eighth grade maybe, I had I can't remember what grade I was in when we got internet at our house. Now, we had a computer, but not connected to anything. Basically, you'd play Wolfenstein 3D, you'd play Solitaire, Minesweeper, you would mess around, whatever game. I used to play SimCity 2000 all the time. But then the internet comes around, and wow, what a world of opportunities. There's chat messages where people from all over the world, you can talk to them, and they might even say a dirty word. Whoa, they used a swear word on the computer. Oh, I'm going to get in so much trouble if my parents see that swear word up on my screen. That was the extent of the trouble I was worried about getting into. Fast forward, many, many, many years later, and now we're in 2020, we're at a time where if a kid, and we'll use the term kid, we'll say anyone under the age of 18, goes onto a computer, anything is readily available to them. Some of the things that, you know, when I was a kid, if you saw something you shouldn't have seen, it was like a once in a year type of thrill. Like, whoa, I can't believe I just saw that thing. Whoa. It never happened. Today, it happens on what could be an hourly basis for these kids. And because of that, the culture starts to change. These kids talk to each other as differently and in a certain way. Pressures start to rise up where they start to think this is normal. They normalize this destructive sexual behavior between and all the kids at school. You know, they perpetrate it. They go out there and they force it. And it is a very dangerous thing that a lot of people are put into and families are put into because all of a sudden their kids get caught up in something that they shouldn't get caught up into. Parents, they do pay attention to the things that their kids are doing, but can they watch them 24/7? Then you add a cell phone into this. Sometimes there's the pressures because the kids, oh, I need one for safety reasons. And next thing you know, they have this in their pocket. It's not just a family computer that could be observed. The things that they teach in school when it comes to sex education, I'm sure are the birds and the bees. And, you know, there's probably things in there that I would object to if I were able to look at the full curriculum based on all the other social, quote unquote, norms that the world try to push on these kids anymore. And you got to, as a parent, pay attention to these things. When it comes to the pressures coming full circle, there are people out there that prey on kids. There are people out there that may be adults preying on children. There may be other kids preying on other kids in their classroom. They may think it's just all good fun. They may think it's just normal. They may just think that's what other kids do. There's got to be a point where it goes beyond just saying, don't do it. I think this is a good idea to put this inside the classroom. I think it's a good idea to reach them where those pressures and try to make sure everyone's on the same page that if you do something like this, there are some serious consequences, not only for the person that may be requesting these, but also sending these things. And get it out there. Age appropriate at sixth grade. If you're giving cell phones to kids at sixth grade, you got to start talking to them at sixth grade or something like this. That it's a wild world. It's a dangerous world. There are terrible people out there that do not have your best interest in heart. And they're going to try to manipulate you. And who knows, they may even go further than that. They may try to abuse you to see what you're willing to do. And they'll just keep going and going. They may try to extort you. They may try to pressure you. Get that stuff out there. So Illinois lawmakers, I'm going to give you a thumbs up. Start addressing these things in school. Address them in sex ed class. Forget about these social things. These are things that are going to affect anyone that is connected to the internet, which is everyone. 314-436-7900 is the number. If you agree with that, or maybe you disagree, maybe you think this is unnecessary, maybe we shouldn't do it, maybe you think it's the parents' obligation to do it, or 800-925-1120. You know what I think maybe the biggest plus side for all of this is that they identify certain people inside the school that they may trust. Or they may tell you who you can identify, let it be your parents, of course, should be the first people that you talk to. But if you're embarrassed, because there is a lot of embarrassment when you make a mistake like that, who can you talk to? Have it identified. This is a designated person that you could bring this up to. This is the type of person that you shouldn't feel ashamed to talk to. They're trained to talk to. This is the person that handles it. Don't hesitate. Go do it. Even having that knowledge is important. And then saying, here's the things that are normal and not normal when it comes to communicating with other people. It is not normal if they're asking you to take your clothes off and send photos to them. It is not normal if they're saying that if you don't do it, that they're going to pressure you or hurt you. It's not normal. There's a lot of things that need to be laid out. So good for Illinois. I don't know if this is something that most states have. I would fully endorse this for all states. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Overnight America, here we are. thank you for spending some time with us tonight. So there is a final in the college football national championship. Spoiler alert, LSU Tigers beat Clemson 42-25. Oh, man, that really got away from them at the end of the game, didn't it? Man, that game went a long time. Is that true? Did this game go 4.5 hours? So it ended after midnight Eastern time. After midnight Eastern. Whoa. They really didn't need to stretch this one out. Whew. All right, let's go to Mike, who's calling in from St. Louis. Hello, Mike.
How you doing, Ryan?
Good.
I heard you talk. That's good. I heard you talk about these kids going to school and everything.
Right, yeah.
And the bullies, they want education. And I really mean this in sincere to my heart. You know what I think the solution would be? Homeschooling.
Oh, that's a good solution. A lot of people are turning to that. You know, there's so many resources that the state will give you if you want to homeschool your children. They'll give you curriculum. They'll give you the materials. It's all laid out for you. So if you feel like it's one of those things that you may want to look into, anyone listening right now, there's a ton of people out there that will just give you the stuff that you can teach your kids. So it really works out.
Yeah, I think it'd be safer, too, because now, to be fair, I think most kids are pretty decent and want education and teachers. But why should anybody have to put up with even bullying and stuff like that? But I really do believe with all my heart that I think homeschooling would be great. And you can keep your kids more safer, and I think it's great.
Yeah, bullying is one thing, and it could cross over into the sexting, which is what's being addressed in Illinois right now. But the big part of all of this is in schools today, I am totally afraid what my kid's going to face. And my wife and I have already started the discussions about homeschooling. We've already talked about it.
That's good. I didn't mean to interrupt you. It's like your kid's 5 years old.
Right.
Now you have a kid, and so you know. But if you'd like to do this, I think it'd be interesting. But you ought to take a survey and see how many people would support homeschooling.
I think a lot of people would win.
I would. I think it'd be great and safer for the kid and environment and give a good education. I would go for that. That's right, so sure. And like these teachers get paid, your homeschooling pay you too. Nice job, have kids. And I think it'd be great to have homeschool. I really do.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Good to hear from you.
Bye-bye.
Now, I think Amy Markscores was homeschooled for at least a time. My wife was homeschooled for a couple of years. When they were living in Texas, so my wife grew up in Texas, born in Texas. Her dad, which is my father-in-law, grew up in Ohio, moved away with the wife after they got married, started down there, took a job with the post office, and then eventually ended up taking a job closer to home, moved back to Ohio when my wife was, I forgot how old, but for a while there in Texas, they were homeschooled, and then when they moved to Ohio, it changed, so they sent them to school after that. My wife was always a smart kid, you know, one of the top in her class. She wasn't the number one in her class. She always likes to point out that if it wasn't for stupid home ec, that one class she didn't get an A+ in, she would have had a perfect GPA leaving high school. Yep, she likes to mention that, and she still, to this day, does not like that teacher that refused to give her the perfect score on it. And it's funny, home ec now. I guess that would be the thing I would make fun of my wife for. But I would get in major trouble for doing that. So today, we've talked about this with my son being as young as he is. He's not in kindergarten right now. He didn't get the cutoff when it comes to age. So we've had that discussion. So what's going to happen? You know, when he's this young, things are probably fine to send him to school. But what happens when he gets older? What happens when there's these other things that go on in school? The bullying, you know, if you want to look at this, the pressures. Just think of all the things the world has to try to take a kid's soul away from them. I mean, the world is a place where there's a lot of crazy temptations, and it's also one of those places that goes beyond challenging. They try to make social norms out of things that are completely ungodly, and then they're forced to almost sign on and agree with it in order to be a part of that culture. And schools allow these things to happen. There's a lot of things that we're a little hesitant about when he gets older. So we thought, well, you know, we're going to have to play it by ear, but we've considered it. I know there's people here that may homeschool or be part of homeschool groups. Is St. Louis a big homeschool community? I have no idea. If anyone's actually involved in homeschooling, I want to know if there's a lot of homeschooled kids in St. Louis. There's a giant Catholic school community in St. Louis. I mean, so many Catholic schools. I would think that there's not a giant homeschool community here. There might be, but I don't think, I don't hear about it. And my wife's part of these other moms groups, and I don't know if she's ever talked about any of the other kids being homeschooled. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Lawmakers proposing that bill that would address sexting in sex ed class. You can text it in too if you want to at 436-7900. We don't get pictures here, thank goodness. Whew, who knows what I'd be texting in right now. There's another thing I wanted to get to tonight. So the Oscars, the nominations for the Oscars came out, and actress Issa Rae, during the announcement in Los Angeles, was reading off the names for the Best Director category, and she is being praised online. The activists are out there. They're like, oh, Issa for president. So here's how they put out the nominations for Best Director.
The Irishman, Martin Scorsese. Joker, Todd Phillips. 1917, Sam Mendes. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Quentin Tarantino. And Parasite, Bong Joon-ho.
Nice.
I did it. Thank you so much.
You did it.
Congratulations to those men. And finally, all voting members of the Academy.
All right, so did you catch that? So at the very end, okay, oh, I said the name right. Then she says,
thank you so much.
You did it.
Congratulations to those men.
Congratulations to those men. So they focus in on that. And people online went crazy. You go get them, girl. You show them. You show them that the Academy is sexist for not nominating a woman and something. You go. You're my new hero. You're an icon. Oh, yeah. So that's all it took to become an icon in today's society. All you got to do is announce the Oscar nominees and then just say something like, congratulations to those men. And all of a sudden, you are a hero in a lot of people's eyes. I got to say, I don't know what you think the alternative is for something like this. Do you want affirmative action when it comes to award ceremonies too? Like, does there have to be an equal outcome, or you got to have, okay, let's do a category. We'll do the men's category and the women's category. You want separation there too? I mean, if you want to have integrity when it comes to the art form and the work and that goes into it, if you want to have integrity, that's what happens. You vote, and then the top vote getters get in there. If you want to break that integrity, you force the hand and you put someone in. In some cases, if it's man, woman, whatever it is, you force it and say, well, we have to have this affirmative action in place. We got to be make sure at least 10% are women or whatever it is. And that way things will be equal in all things considered. No, you can't do that. Well, if you want to consider this as an art form, what they're putting together, you have to be able to allow the voters to go out there and do their thing. And you have to be able to allow them, if they believe that these are the top five directors, then that's who gets nominated. This whole, you know, we got to force the hand and we got to do this. It totally lacks integrity in the whole process. I'm not here to defend Hollywood. I think Hollywood's lousy. I don't care for it. I don't like to adopt its messages. What I'm saying is, if you do that in anything, you're lacking integrity. 314-436-7900 is the number. You know, there's a couple of other things I was going to get to earlier in the show. I didn't get a chance to. Some things that the national media is going crazy for. I don't know why they're sympathizing with Iran so much. I mean, they're going out of their way to sympathize with Iran. And last night I played this on the show. I want to play it again because I did it late in the show, and I don't know how many people heard it. Over the weekend, David Lee Roth opened his residency in Las Vegas. I had to talk to someone inside. Like, one of our sister stations, Kat, he programs Y98, and he lived and worked in Las Vegas. And I asked him, do they really slack off when the celebrities get in there and they do these residency shows? Like, you know, what were the big ones? Like Celine Dion's of the world and the Britney Spears or whatever, you know, the big-time pop stars that are kind of like on the downward turn of their career but still have an appeal based on their name. They go and they do these things. I wondered if they all slack off. And he said, no, really, they up their game because it's a ton of money for them and they want to keep that because it's the best paying gig they'll ever get. David Lee Roth opened up his residency in Las Vegas over the weekend. I want you to guess if it was great or terrible. Now, David Lee Roth, the former singer of Van Halen, very well known. He was a radio personality for a while, known for being very energetic in the way that he handles himself on stage. I'm going to play a clip for you, and it may be one of the worst things I've ever seen. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
News Radio 1120, KMOX, the voice of the Cardinals.
Here we are at Overnight America, 11:33 at night in St. Louis, Missouri. Happy to be live with you. After midnight, we do the replay hour, so we're going to talk to our friend Rich Rubino, who has a book called American Politics on the Rocks. Another Democratic debate tomorrow. A lot to look at in this upcoming election. A couple of different angles to play with it. You know, one interesting question I asked him, could Republicans be on the cusp of breaking the Democrats' hold on the African-American vote? Someone sent me that pitch, like there was a guest that wanted to talk about it. And I said, no, I don't need a guest. I got Rich Rubino, so I'll ask him that question. He gave an awesome answer to that. Also, Joe Pott in studio, he hosted the Sports Open Line tonight. Wanted to talk to him about what was going on in Major League Baseball over at the Astros. And in the second hour, so from 1 to 2 a.m., we'll start the hour with Ada Calhoun, author of Why We Can't Sleep, Women's New Midlife Crisis, all the different pressures to a Gen X woman. Gen X being, what was it, 39 to 50, somewhere in there? I forgot what the age range was, but there's so many unique pressures to them. And she feels like they're the forgotten of the generations. Everyone skips over them. It's always the boomers or the millennials. They forget about what's in between. We spent a half hour with her, and that'll be after 1 o'clock. Or you can go listen to it right now at KMOX.com/ONA. Text message came in from the Metro East. Military have a huge support for homeschooling for a variety of reasons, but do support local schools. That's interesting. Military makes sense if you're traveling or in the case of you don't know if you're going to be moving or sometimes you're going to be close to a base or in some cases you may be away for a while. It just makes sense to do that. I can see that. That's interesting. They said they enjoy listening to the show every night. Thank you for listening every night. Thank you. And going to play you a tune. Someone said going to play you a tune. I don't know what that means, but I wanted to do this from David Lee Roth over the weekend. People were at his first show of the residency that opened in Las Vegas, David Lee Roth being of Van Halen fame. They played a lot of Van Halen songs. I don't think any of the other Van Halen members were there. It was just, you know, the backing band that was playing. David Lee Roth normally is known for going out, being very energetic, running around. Remember, he's like the guy that jumps up and does the splits on stage. He's a little too old for that. How old do you think David Lee Roth is? If you had to guess, let me see. David Lee Roth is 65. Wow, he's older than I thought he was. He looks pretty good for 65. He was born in Bloomington, Indiana. How about that, too? So there he was. David Lee Roth's singing voice is not what it used to be. People are reporting this. Eddie Van Halen, they said, is not doing well. I'm just looking at some of the different news stories that are out there right now. But here he is, and let me give you an example. If you were there in Las Vegas in his first show of his residency, you would have heard this. Now, let me point out, they're playing the old Beach Boys song, California Girls. You can hear at the start, he starts to sing, then doesn't sing. If you're going to play a song, you better know the words to it. So he's on there, and he's looking so awkward, and he's, like, hitting his head with the microphone, like, oh, I can't believe I forgot the words. But you're telling me you can't pick up where the main lyrics are? And then it just repeats the one part he already repeated, and obviously he doesn't know the words. How terrible is that, the millions and millions of dollars they're paying him to do their residency? Oh, that is so terrible. How in the world can people pay to see that? It looks so bad. One person messaged me and said, it looks like, it's sad. He said, it's like when your grandpa gets on stage to do karaoke. It's just sad. Oh boy. Let's hope the best for David Lee Roth. You know, there's a few other things I wanted to get to. Oh yeah. You know, here in the news, there's a lot of people that have just been going crazy for defending Iran. And a lot of them in the mainstream media, you gotta, at some point, shake your head and say, wow, you're really not getting it. You are really on the wrong side here. why would you jump to the defense of Iran? I mean, they have committed some pretty terrible crimes. They have not been a friend to, well, pretty much every nation, including the United States and Canada. They just shot down a commercial air flight, killing many innocent people. There's protests going on in Iran right now, and they are upset with the way their government is handling things. You have terrorist acts. In fact, their regime is under terrorist watch. This person that President Trump took out was a terrorist. And we look at all of these different ways we've been sensitive to them and ways we could hope we can just give them a bunch of money, pay them off, and then they'll stop bothering people. It never works. We're talking about a group that wants to eliminate Jews off the planet. They want to wipe Israel off the map. They've been doing this for decades. I mean, we're talking some pretty terrible people here. This is what they stand for. We're talking about as a government that will throw homosexuals off rooftops and kill them in public squares to make a point. The way they treat women is abysmal. We're terrible, terrible things. No way could you be a Christian in Iran without finding some sort of persecution. You may even lose your life over it. There is nothing that is appealing to me. And I got to say, if there's people out there defending them right now, you got to shake your head. Okay, let's see who's defending them. How about we start with CNN? Aaron Burnett, let's go there.
Chris, throughout the Middle East.
Well, I will say, I was in Tehran when they were chanting "Death to America" once. I was at a rally. The people couldn't have been more friendly to me personally as an American. It sort of felt like a thing and a trope as opposed to anything that actually was seriously meant and considered. Well, I understand your point, Aaron, but having been there, my experience.
Right. It's just a giant meme. Oh, you know, that's just what they say for fun. You know, like how we go out and we just start chanting things for no reason. Yeah, they just like to go out there and chant "Death to America." You know, they're overall pretty good. You know, they might stone homosexuals. They might go out there and kill people for being Christians. They might want to go out there and commit mass genocide against Jews. They might go out there and shoot down commercial airplanes. But overall, come on now, let's be fair. They're pretty nice. Come on, the Iranian regime over there is absolutely terrible. How could you do that? Here's another one for you. Let's see. New York Times reporter. Here's how the New York Times is spinning this.
One of the takeaways of the past week is that we actually saw, in my opinion, Iran act with perhaps more restraint than our own government. The rocket attacks that the missiles that landed on the bases where there were American troops did not kill anyone. That seems like a wise decision that they made. Thankfully, our own government has now backed off as well.
Oh, wow. Isn't that one? So New York Times stance is, you know, the United States, man, they got to show more restraint like Iran. Man, we got to start acting like Iran. That's the New York Times' stance, applauding them for showing more restraint than the United States. How much hatred do you have for Donald Trump before you start taking Iran's side? It is pathetic. Let's see. What else do I got? I had a couple of other ones. We have here. Oh, Fox News. This was a pretty good little tirade that went on. So Fox News decided to call out MSNBC for them airing propaganda on their airwaves. And this has to do, Howard Kurtz, was this Sunday? Yeah, here, listen to this. He makes a pretty good point.
MSNBC was live as Iran was launching rocket attacks against Iraqi bases housing American soldiers. And Tehran Bureau Chief Ali Arouzi, speaking with anchor Chris Matthews, saw fit to report what turned out to be completely bogus Iranian propaganda.
This bit I'm not sure about, but Iran state media is claiming that 30 U.S. soldiers have been killed in this attack.
Yes, Arouzi offered the caveat that he wasn't sure about it, but then why report it at all? And Chris Matthews said nothing, offered no qualifiers. Imagine if you had a loved one in the military serving on one of those bases and heard this fabricated report designed by the Iranians to scare the American public. And MSNBC repeated this several times.
We're also getting unconfirmed reports from state media saying that they have leveled the Ain al-Assad base in Iraq and they have killed 30 U.S. troops.
Leveled the entire base? I mean, come on. How do you put that on the air without evidence? Anchor Chris Hayes, to his credit, cautioned viewers about this so-called reporting.
All right, so I'll end it there. But you are reporting, and I know breaking news situations will have a lot of leeway because they don't know the information that's coming in. But if you're a major news network Why would you go to the air with that? If you know what your audience wants to hear and you decide to go to the air with it, maybe that's a bigger reflection of what their audience wants to hear. That's the MSNBC audience. Chris Matthews, listen to this from MSNBC.
You know, when some people die, you don't know what the impact's going to be. When Princess Diana died, for example, there was a huge emotional outpouring. Elvis Presley in our culture. It turns out that this general he killed was a beloved hero of the Iranian people, to the point where look at the people we got pictures of now. These enormous crowds coming out. There's no American emotion in this case, but there's a hell of a lot of emotion on the other side. Should our leaders know what they're doing when they kill somebody, Congressman?
All right, so then he goes off and decides to talk to another even far left-leaning congressman. So, yeah, we just killed the Princess Diana of Iran. Are you kidding me? Again, all these sympathies for Iran right now. Apologetic. What side are you on? Seriously. It's really sad to see this. And it doesn't surprise me. Newsbusters, I go to their website, and they do a good job. What I really like what they do is they'll analyze news coverage, and then they'll break down what was covered on these major news networks. And they'll put it in a pretty easy-to-read way. So from September 24th to January 1st, they evaluated 1,053 comments about President Trump on the major three networks, the ABC, CBS, and NBC. And they decided to analyze how are they reporting on President Trump during that time. Is it positive or is it negative? Who's reporting it? Why are they reporting it? What are they reporting on? And as it turns out, 93% of their coverage was negative. If there is some integrity when it comes to news coverage in general, you would think that there would be some sort of balance to their news reporting. But if balance isn't part of what they're doing, maybe there is a pretty strong bias against Donald Trump, and they're purposely deciding to put only things that they feel are negative. Let's look at some of these numbers here. Impeachment swallows in the news agenda. So 849 minutes on the impeachment and the Ukraine probe. If you want to look at trade and the economy, both of which are very strong right now, they spent 9 minutes. 9 minutes total, September 24th to January 1st. We're talking 3 months plus. Trade's doing well. We made, again, and during that time, they put together that deal and confirming it between Canada and Mexico. That's a pretty big deal. 9 minutes over 3 months they spend on it. Wow. Yikes. You know, and you can go down and look at all the way that they handle this. Nets donate massive free airtime to Democrats' impeachment push. That's one of the things that they're arguing in this. I tend to agree. I tend to agree that they might not be able to give money, but in kind, they're able to give their airwaves without any chance of rebuttal. And is that news? This is Overnight America, KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
Thank you for being a friend to us here on Overnight America. And I thank you for all the text messages, all the calls tonight. You know, tomorrow's another debate. There's been a million of these Democratic debates. There's one in January, which is tomorrow night. And then there's three in February. Ugh. So tomorrow night, we'll have Kristen Arnold, who's a rules analyst. We'll talk about how the moderators handled the debate, if they were fair, if they were not. We'll also have our friend Rich Rubino back on, and he'll give a little bit of insight and analysis to the good points, the bad points, the high points, the low points, the things they said, surprises. Instant reaction after the debate tomorrow night. Honestly, you don't even have to watch it. I would encourage you not to watch it. For your own sanity, do not watch it. Just listen to the reaction tomorrow night. There's been enough of these things. Oh, so many of these things. Can we just all agree we don't need 20 of these Democratic debates? Come on now. This is how they feel, the only way they can get airtime. And I know that the other networks love covering it. They love giving them the publicity. And they realize they got to give a break to Donald Trump every once in a while because they bang on that drum all day. So, you know, a two-hour debate once a month might be all they're willing to do to redirect their attention somewhere else. And also tomorrow night for the full first hour of the show at 8 o'clock, Clint Hossie's going to come and join us in studio. We're going to go down KMOX memory lane. And I might even do what they do on Wayne's World. We'll do the... And we'll go back in time and we'll talk a few stories when he was working here at KMOX. He was, you know, general manager, I think sales manager for a while too. Had many great memories of KMOX. I'm going to get some impressions of some of the personalities he worked with. And if you have any old KMOX questions, maybe you can even call in and talk to him about that. Got a new whole nother story for you. I love Kevin Klein's whole nother story. Let's do that now.
Kalera Schwarz is a member of the St. Mary of Victory's Hungarian Church in St. Louis. And she has started the Good Mood Dessert Company, and she sells a cookie called the Moodic Cookie.
Moodic is a chocolate covered curd.
Mood, M-O-O-D-I-C.
C-C.
Does this alter your mood?
Mood, yes, yes.
How does it change your mood?
Because this is nice, sweet, chocolatey, and protein in it. Yeah.
Are there any mood-altering ingredients?
Chocolate. Modification on the brain modification. Not.
Yeah, we don't want to modify the brain.
No. Well, we just want to give the people to eat sweet without any guilt, yes.
Is this your main cookie?
This is my main cookie, yes.
And this is shaped, it's about, 3 inches long? It's like a little chocolate submarine.
Yes.
It's a tube.
Tube, yes.
And what's inside it?
A curd. Curd cream. Cottage cheese curd cream inside.
All right.
On a chocolate.
All right, now you hold this. You interview me while I eat it. Okay, we're going to try it now. Opening up. This is the special Moodic cookie chocolate covered curd.
Yes.
With a C.
Yes.
Mmm. It's like an ice cream bar, but it's creamier.
Yes.
Wow, that's very good.
Yes.
Is this
not
from
too
your
sweet.
No. Is this from an old family recipe?
Yes.
Well,
curd.
I've never had anything like this before. I'm going to eat the whole thing.
Because American doesn't know how to have to make a cottage cheese.
I'm not going to go around the corner and throw it in the trash. I'm going to eat the whole thing.
You eat the whole thing, please.
Well, leave us with a song. When you were a girl in Hungary, did you ever sing songs in the kitchen with your mother?
Yes.
What's a good song that reminds you of all this cooking and the love you put into your cookies?
Clara Schwarz of the Good Mood Dessert Company is a startup. In addition to the chocolate-covered curd, which is delicious, she also makes a chocolate coconut roll, which is also very good. With a whole nother story, I'm Kevin Killeen.
I want it, and I want to try it really bad now. Oh, that sounds awesome, doesn't it? Thank you, Kevin. Now I am craving this Hungarian cookie. Whew, boy. Well, that about does it for us here on Overnight America. If you ever wanted to react to something and the show's over, or, you know, you thought the time has passed, we do keep phone lines open on a Thursday night, so you can always, this is what we do. It's almost like the butcher block. We just take our hand and we wipe all of the different scraps off the table, and we try to start anew at the start of the week. But that last week, if there's any of those scraps left over, that's could be your thoughts, your impressions, things that you may have missed, things that we didn't talk about, whatever it is. You want to correct me on something, you can do that too on Thursday nights. And you can also reach me on Twitter at Ryan Recker. I do enjoy our interactions on there. I try to respond to everyone, and for the most part, I do respond to people. Keep in mind, I don't always see things. It's really strange. The way Twitter's set up, and I found this out after the fact, the way Twitter is set up, if you're someone that doesn't have a confirmed account, as in you just created an account and it's not associated with anything, meaning you didn't give your email, you didn't give your name, those anonymous accounts I filter out. I don't even see things like that. You actually have to have some skin in the game. But otherwise, I like to see the interactions there and I like to keep up to date with you. You can also email me. Email address is on the website at kmox.com. The podcast is on the website at kmox.com/ONA. We post all of our different shows on there. And if you liked any of it, I would ask for you to go give us a nice little positive review online. Give us a 5-star, hey, I like the show. Share it with a friend. Let someone else know. If you're not up late, you can still listen to this thing on the computer or your smartphone. You can hook it up into your car while you're driving. KMOX.com/ONA is where all those links are. All right. Enjoy the rest of your night. We'll be back again tomorrow. And until then, enjoy the replay hours coming up next on KMOX.
My heart beats with the lonely rain, wishing I could see your face again.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.